Hello, I'm Katrina Kellner, editor of Science Translational Medicine. Welcome to the podcast for our cancer special issue published on March 28th. In this show, I will be speaking with Dr. Bert Vogelstein, who is the director of the Ludwig Center and a member of the Howard Hughes Medical Institute at Johns Hopkins University Medical School in Baltimore. We will be chatting about recent progress in combating cancer and what advances we can expect to see in the future. Cancer is a clever and wily foe. The war on cancer, initiated in 1971 by U.S. President Richard Nixon, recognized the urgency of the problem, and we have indeed been working hard since then to understand this disease and to invent ways to fight it. And there has certainly been progress in treatment, notably for some childhood blood cancers and breast cancer, but our most spectacular success has been in understanding the cellular and molecular basis of what makes a normal cell become a tumor cell. We discovered oncogenes and can now probe the genetic and epigenetic changes that drive cancer's uncontrolled growth. The question now is, how can we best apply this knowledge to improve the lives of cancer patients? Here's Dr. Vogelstein on the line to talk with us about where we are going in the war on cancer. Welcome, Bert, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me, Katrina.
The war on cancer is now in its fifth decade. How far have we come in boosting survival of cancer patients, and how far have we yet to go?
As you mentioned in your introduction, we have come a long way towards strategizing the war. The first objective in that strategy has been to understand the basis of cancer. When Nixon declared the war on cancer, we knew nothing about it. Basically, cancer was a black box. People that developed the disease for mysterious reasons. It was almost as if it came from outer space. And that situation has just dramatically changed since 1971. We now know quite well, at least the outlines of what forms cancers. There's much to be learned, but we're starting in 2012 from a position of great understanding rather than total mystery. And that bodes well for the future. But this has not yet been translated to patients in the sense that cancer deaths are still way too high, nearly as high for most common cancers as they were in 1971. So we've gone very far in understanding the disease, but we're just beginning to apply that knowledge to patients. And the next major challenge in cancer research is trying to translate those basic science discoveries to practical applications.
So how are we going to achieve this?
It's going to require a multi-pronged attack. It's not going to be simple, but the history of medicine shows that once one understands a disease, it's only a matter of time before that disease can be conquered.
One of the articles in our special issue by Graham Colditz suggests that we already have enough knowledge of the environmental causes of cancer to prevent over 50% of cases. These include things like smoking, lack of exercise, and sun exposure. Does this mean we should reallocate our cancer research dollars to eliminate these cancer-promoting behaviors?
I would answer an emphatic yes to that question. Colditz, I think, makes a very cogent point that is unfortunately not as widely appreciated as it should be, and that is that more than 50% of cancers occurring today could be prevented. Now, if you were to develop a drug that could cure 50% of cancers, that would certainly be front page news. It would be the major biomedical breakthrough of this century. Yet, in a sense, that breakthrough has already been made. Investigators over the years have shown exactly how to prevent cancers through a combination of epidemiologic and molecular and genetic studies. Society has yet to implement those measures, and I think it's the responsibility of both scientists as well as leaders in society in general to implement those measures.
Now, targeted therapies have made a big splash as a new and improved ways to kill tumors like melanoma and lung cancer while leaving healthy tissue relatively unscathed. Do you think these targeted therapies are likely to replace traditional chemotherapy anytime soon?
I don't think they will replace them anytime soon, but they certainly have added new weapons to fight cancers in individual patients And partly for that reason, but also partly because of the optimism they've imbued in practicing oncologists who now have much better and specific weapons to fight cancer. I think the tide has turned in terms of therapy. Most people in the field now believe that we will be able to achieve longer-term remissions through the combination of targeted and conventional therapies. Now, unfortunately, the targeted therapies so far, even when they work, induce remissions for periods of time lasting only months in general. The ways to improve targeted therapies are to combine them with other targeted therapies as well as conventional therapies. But in addition to combining them, there are many other ways to treat patients with advanced cancers besides targeted agents that are gradually gaining a foothold.
So you think there's still a place in the armamentarium for cytotoxic chemotherapy drugs?
The targeted therapies that exist today are only applicable to a relatively small fraction of patients that have specific genetic alterations in their tumors. In those patients, the targeted therapies can work extremely well, inducing remissions that often can't be obtained with conventional cytotoxic agents. But for the immediate future, most patients with cancers, the only thing that we have available for them are these conventional cytotoxic agents as well as radiotherapy. Now, just because they're conventional doesn't mean they won't work. And over the past several years, there have been many examples of common tumors, such as those of the colon and the breast, in which survival has increased considerably by years just through the more informed application of cytotoxic drugs.
Now I want to change the subject and ask you about a completely different type of therapy than the ones we've discussed so far. We're now learning more about how the immune system interacts with tumor cells. Will we be able to harness the immune system to help us fight cancer?
Well, that has really been a dream of cancer researchers for well over a century. And it's fair to say that immunotherapy was on the out for many years because it had been tried for so long and never really resulted in major advances. But that situation has quite dramatically changed in the last few years. And there have been a couple of really remarkable developments which have made that change. The first is that we've seen the first approvals for drugs that employ the immune system to work against patients' tumors. The basic research that led to that approval was the discovery that cancer patients often inhibit the immune response against their tumors. The way they do that is to regulate the killer T cells that might ordinarily kill the tumors, if not for this inhibitory response. And now there's a lot of work trying to develop agents, both antibodies as well as small molecules, which can reverse this inhibition that patients mount against this powerful endogenous immune responses. So that's one really promising development that will be combined with other therapies, both targeted therapies and conventional therapies, to induce more long-term remissions and perhaps even cures. The second development that's been exciting is the use of engineered T cells to kill patients' tumors. And there have now been a few studies, still early, but highly encouraging, showing that if one takes a patient's T cells and arms them with specific weapons that make them react with the patient's tumor cells, then long-term remissions, even cures, can be achieved.
Bert, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your thoughts on our efforts to combat cancer.
Thank you, Katrina.
That was Bert Vogelstein of Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. Check out our special interview on cancer in the March 28th issue of Science Translational Medicine by going to our website at stm.sciencemag.org. I'm Katrina Kellner, and thanks for listening. This podcast is a production of Science Translational Medicine and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, working together to advance science and serve society.